Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Big fat honkin' TGIF this week. And for those of you who are here in St. Louis, here in the Midwest, anywhere around here, you are probably wondering, as I am, should we start building the ark now or maybe wait until tomorrow? Because, well, it's been raining a ton here. And you know, I think that's what everybody's probably starting to feel like. But anyway, it is Friday, and that means Conservative Cauldron Radio. And I want to thank everybody for stopping by to hang out with me for a little while. And we're going to just kind of hang out. I have kind of a hodgepodge this week, just kind of a mix and match of things. There's been so many things going on this week and things that have been talked about this week that maybe aren't going on this week, but maybe are going to be going on in the next few days, in the next few weeks, things like that. We had the unemployment and the job numbers come out for April today, and I don't think it's really any surprise to anybody. The unemployment rate has been held pretty steady at 7.5%. I believe that might actually be down maybe a point or two. The actual number of jobs created in the month of April was 165,000, which is better than March, which is only 88,000. So that is a jump. But, you know, the really sobering number in all of this is that under Barack Obama, under his watch, 9.5 million people have left the workforce. It's a lot of people, and it's a lot of people who have just given up looking for work because there's nothing out there. And I think even people who are willing to say, you know what, maybe I can't find a job in my particular field, but I've got to have some money coming in. I've got mouths to feed. I've got a family to take care of. And so I've got to have some kind of money coming in. So, you know what, I'm willing to go work at the grocery store. I'm willing to go work at the drugstore. I'm willing to go work wherever I need to just to have that little bit of cash coming in until I do find something that I really want to do. And first of all, I don't think there's nearly enough people who do have that attitude anymore. I like to think that if that were me, that I certainly would have that attitude that it wouldn't matter what I was doing at that point if I couldn't find something in my particular field just so that I would have some money coming in. But, you know, I think it's even getting hard for people to do that. And I'm very blessed and I'm very fortunate. I have never been unemployed for an extended period of time. So I can only imagine that it must be very, very, very degrading, not degrading, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very depressing, of course, but you really would get a sense of hopelessness and a sense that it's not going to get any better. And, you know, so really for the month of April, everything really just kind of leveled out and stayed the same. And, you know, that includes the unemployment numbers for African-Americans and other minorities. The Black unemployment rate continues to be twice as high as the national average. And first of all, I don't think there are a whole lot of people who really know that. They're not aware of those numbers. And a lot of those people who aren't aware of those numbers are probably Obama voters. And it's really kind of ironic when you think about it, because I think that we can all understand the thought that he really was going to reach out to Blacks and reach out to other minorities to really try to help people maybe who really, for whatever reason, really haven't gotten a fair shake. And as far as employment and jobs go, I don't think that's happened. And I think there's probably a lot of people now with some buyer's remorse, and a lot of people, especially in minority communities, who really, you know, are really disillusioned by Obama and really are beginning to see that he's not helped them, he's actually hurt them. And so, you know, this is year one of the next 4 years. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the numbers, hopefully they will go up. I mean, we certainly want everyone to be working and find a job, but it'll be interesting to see if the numbers go up, how up they go, and go down, how down they go. It's going to be a roller coaster for the next 4 years. And I think those of us who knew that all along, you know, brace yourself, because it's probably going to happen. But let's see, what else is going on here? Oh, we had Jason Collins come out to be the first openly gay professional athlete. And I'll tell you right off the bat, I'm not into basketball. I'm a baseball and hockey girl. Go Cards, go Blues. And so I'm bear with me, because I'm really not that up on basketball as much as I maybe I should be to talk about this. But Jason Collins, I believe, is now a free agent. The last team that he played with maybe was the Boston Celtics. Anybody can call me 347-857-2620 if I'm completely dead wrong. But anyway, as far as my knowledge goes, he is 34 years old. He is a center, and that at the moment right now he is a free agent, and he came out this week, like I said, being the first openly gay professional athlete. And, you know, I think that we all, even in this day and age, you know, for people to come out as being homosexual, as being gay, that it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of guts. But Jason Collins is special because he got a phone call from President Barack Obama, and who was, of course, being encouraging and congratulating him on his courage and bravery, and that's good. But here's the thing. Jason Collins was not the first professional athlete to come out. I believe about, maybe it was a few weeks ago, there was a female professional basketball player playing in the WNBA who came out as being a lesbian. And I think she's still waiting for her phone call from President Obama. And, you know, when I heard about that, I thought, you know, that it kind of fits a pattern, because, you know, we've been hearing in recent months about how hard a place the White House is to work and to be female. We've heard that female employees aren't being paid as much, that they are a lot of times being treated with a lot of disrespect. And, you know, so it almost has to make you wonder, does this fit the pattern? That the only reason that Jason Collins got a phone call is because maybe he is a male professional athlete because there are, in fact, female professional athletes. And so if they were to come out in this sort of manner, would they not deserve a phone call from the president? I mean, as long as he's dishing out phone calls to openly gay professional athletes, shouldn't the girls be in line just like the guys? Kind of makes you wonder. But there's that. And let's see. Oh, next week there is going to be, this is going to be very, very interesting. There's going to be some congressional hearings starting on the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Libya in Benghazi. And there apparently are going to be some, you know, there's been there are survivors to this attack. But nobody has seen them. Nobody has heard from them. Nobody knows who they are. Nobody knows where they are. And one of the things that Congress and the Senate, Republican senators have been attempting to do is to locate these survivors and talk to them to see what they know. What do they know? What did they see? What did they hear? What are their recollections on the night of September 11th, 2012? And these people have been very, they've been hidden, basically, by the administration. But apparently some of them, and they have, in fact, also been threatened. They've been threatened with their jobs. They've been threatened with their livelihood. I don't have any confirmation of this, so maybe I shouldn't even be talking about it. But there could be, in fact, some threats of physical intimidation. I mean, it's gone that far. And so, I mean, we really do have to ask, why are these people being so cloistered? Why are they being so hidden? All we want to do is talk to them and find out what did they see and what did they experience the night of the attack? And, you know, what did they see the night that an American ambassador was killed for the first time in 30 years. And so that's going to be interesting to see what they have to say. It's also going to be interesting to see what they say about what they believe that former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton knew. What sort of memos, what sort of cables did she receive regarding the security measures that were being taken or not taken in the U.S. Embassy there? I think basically what people want to know is, did she read emails, did she read cables from people who were begging for more security, who knew that these attacks were imminent, and did she blow it off? I mean, let's call it what it is. Did she read these cables and emails and decide that it was not a big enough issue for her to intervene and to make sure that there was some more security, especially on a day like September 11th? You know, September 11th in Libya, in the Middle East, I mean, do you really need to ask anything more? Do you really need to say anything more about that? Surely anyone in their right mind would have thought to have more security on that day of all days at any embassy in the Middle East. But, we're going to see what these people have to say. And I think at this point, too, I mean, what reason do they have to lie? They're hidden away. They really can't work or really do anything at the moment until this matter is settled. So, and the other thing too about Hillary and Benghazi, one of the biggest reasons why these people may be being hidden and being forced not to speak is it's so early to talk about this and it seems so ridiculous. But you know, as soon as one election is over, the other one begins, apparently. And I think we all know that it's probably, you know, common knowledge that Hillary Clinton is on the top spot on the list of Democratic nominees for the 2016 presidential election. And my theory about this is that one of the reasons that they do not want these people coming out and speaking and making their faces and their voices seen and heard is that if the story about what really happened in Benghazi that night, if it all comes out and we come to find out that Hillary Clinton was negligent in some very critical areas, that's really going to come back to bite her in the tuchus in 2016. And I think that a lot of higher ups, a lot of the people in the back smoky rooms of the Democratic Party, I think it's right now, at this point, right now, today, they know that they screwed up with Barack Obama, that they should have supported Hillary more. I'm not saying that she would have been a better president. You know, in some instances, she would not have been a better president, speaking as a conservative, but she would have, she would have had more experience, that's for sure. But anyway, long story short, I think that if these people, I think the Democrats are definitely afraid that if these people's stories come out, that Hillary's chances in 2016 are going to be greatly damaged and that they are going to have to do a boatload of damage control. But anyway, we will see what happens next week with that. I'm going to take a break here and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the NRA convention. And I also have a really interesting article here from, what is this from? CNSnews.com. About registered voters who believe that an armed revolution might be necessary in the next few years. Wow. Anyway, I'm going to take a break, and I will be right back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm your host, Becky Noble. Glad you're here. Be right back.
You're listening to the Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
And we're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. I'm your host. And it is Friday night, so where else would you be but listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio? Because that's what we do on Friday nights. So there is a piece here from the CNSnews.com. And this kind of caught my eye. It says it's a poll here. 29% of registered voters believe armed revolution, I don't talk much, do I, might be necessary in the next few years. It goes on to say, 29% of registered voters think that an armed revolution might be necessary in the next few years in order to protect liberties, according to a Public Mind poll by Fairleigh Dickinson University. The poll, which surveyed 863 registered voters and had a margin of error of plus or minus 3.4%, focused on both gun control and the possibility of a need for an armed revolution in the United States to protect liberty. The survey asked whether respondents agreed, disagreed, neither agreed nor disagreed, or did not know or refused to respond to the statement, quote, in the next few years, an armed revolution might be necessary in order to protect our liberties, unquote. 29% said they agreed. 47% said they disagreed. 18% said they neither agreed nor disagreed, 5% said they were unsure, and 1% refused to respond. The poll found that 38% of Americans who believe a revolution might be necessary support additional gun control legislation, compared to 62% of those who didn't think an armed revolt will be needed. Let's see. Dan Castino, a professor of political science at Fairleigh Dickinson, an analyst for the poll, says, quote, "The differences in views of gun legislation are really a function of differences in what people believe guns are for. If you truly believe an armed revolution is responsible and is possible in the near future, you need weapons, and you're going to be wary about government efforts to take them away," unquote. Quote. The poll was conducted nationally between April 22nd and April 28th, 2013. So, you know, think about that for a minute, too. Of all of these people, the majority of them want more gun control, but they think that an armed revolution is going to be necessary. Okay, if you're going to have more gun control, then isn't it going to be a little hard to have a revolution? You know, maybe I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but it just sounds like it might be a little hard to do. But, you know, hey, with the way that things are going right now and the way that that our liberties really are at risk right now, you know what? You never know. Anything can happen. I also got a clip here, and I wanted to play it because it's so rare that you hear Supreme Court justices speak. And this is Clarence Thomas. He was being interviewed at Duchesne Law School in Pittsburgh on the 9th of April, and he has some really interesting things to say about elite. Let's listen.
And did you ever expect to see an African-American president during your lifetime? Is that something you thought would happen?
Oh, yeah. I've always thought there would be black coaches, black heads of universities. Maybe, again, as I said, I'm naive. But the thing that I knew that it would have to be a black president who was approved by the elites, the media, because anybody they didn't agree with, they would take apart. And that will happen with virtually, you pick your person, any black person who says something that is not the prescribed things that they expect from a black person will be picked apart. You can pick anybody. Don't pick me. Pick anyone who has decided not to go along with it. Mm-hmm. There's a price to pay. So I always assumed it would be somebody the media had to agree with.
Have you met President?
You know, we all know, I mean, and we talk about this all the time, about how especially the mainstream media, about how they treat black conservatives. And, you know, Justice Thomas, he's a brilliant, brilliant man. And, you know, he knows what time it is. He's got their number, and he knows how they operate. He knows how they work. Well, and he knows because from his own personal experience, anybody who's old enough to remember his confirmation hearings in the early 90s, I mean, it was just a complete circus. And they tried to make a buffoon of him. And his wife even came out and was talking about how unfairly that she felt he was being treated. I don't think that he expected a cakewalk. When you are being interviewed, when you're being interviewed by the Senate to be a Supreme Court justice, I don't think anybody expects a cakewalk. But, you know, anybody who is old enough to remember those hearings, and they were televised, it was pretty shameful the way he was treated. A man of his position that he was really, they tried to make a fool of. And, you know, he's gotten the last laugh, that's for sure. But also, the other thing I wanted to talk about tonight is the NRA, the National Rifle Association, is having their annual convention this weekend. I was fortunate enough to go last year when it was held here in St. Louis, and wow, if you ever get a chance to go to one, I mean, they're really cool. Even if you don't know anything about guns like I am, like you know where the trigger is and which end of the gun to put up next to your face, you know, that's how I am. I come from a car family. I don't come from a gun family. I my My dad was a car man, and I can close my eyes and tell you the difference between a Formula One car and NASCAR. But guns, you know, what I know about guns, you can fit on the head of a pin. But anyway, I found something that's really cool, and I would encourage everyone to read it. This is from Newsmax, and it's just a little piece by our buddy Ted Nugent. And I didn't get to see Ted when he was here in town last year. Went to his booth and bought a T-shirt. He's got all kinds of cool stuff for sale. And, you know, Ted is never one to mince words. And Ted likes to say what he thinks, and he doesn't really care who doesn't like it or likes it. But I think for most of us, Ted speaks for a lot of people, and he has a unique way of putting things that we all wish that we could do. And like I said, this is on the Newsmax site, and I would encourage everybody to listen to it, or to read it, I'm sorry. Well, if I had time to read it, you could listen to it. But some of the highlights to this is taking guns away from law-abiding citizens is a liberal bong pipe dream that will actually make America less safe. It won't make us safer by any stretch of wounded imagination, and all smart Americans know it. Only hippies, socialists, and easily led stooges believe banning guns will make America safer. Purple Haze was a song, not something by which to make policy. The NRA is gearing up for our annual convention that will draw 70 to 80,000 freedom enthusiasts and American self-defense activists. Know this, NRA members do not shoot up theaters, schools, or use guns to commit crimes. We are the good guys. Join us and support freedom while supporting measures that would actually make America safer. If you want to protest something, the first thing you should do is to critically think about whom to protest. Aim small, miss small, join the NRA. And, well, you know, that's Ted. That's really all you got to say. I really do wish I had time to read this whole piece, because it really is cool, and it's vintage Ted, and so hopefully you will all get a chance to read that. And again, the convention is this weekend. It's in Houston, and Glenn Beck is going to be the keynote speaker tomorrow night, as he was here last year, and I didn't get to hear Glenn speak as well. Wish I had, but didn't make it to that. But, you know, the NRA is, they're growing by leaps and bounds. And I think it's the minute that Barack Obama got elected, their membership started growing. And like I just said, they are going to have about 70 to 80,000 attendees there in Houston for the national convention. And it's really a fun time if you ever do get a chance to go to one. They have everything under the sun that you can think of, and it's just a whole lot of fun. Anyway, that's about all I've got time for tonight. I'm glad everybody could make it, glad everybody could be here. Those of you who had to practically swim to get here, thank you very much. Next week, I'm sure we'll hear more about the Benghazi hearings and a whole lot more good stuff to come. So anyway, thanks for listening. Please check out What Started It All, Conservative Cauldron blog. That is at conservativecauldron.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/Becky Nobles. And I am also on Twitter at Patriot Witch. Please follow me. So thanks, everybody, for being here. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Stay dry. And I will see you next time. You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron. I'm Becky Noble. See you next time. Thanks.
You're listening to The Conservative Cauldron, Bewitching Radio.
Thank you.